In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, where it says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We're ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you, on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at an old Sunday school lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March the 6th, 1927, about sharing the good news. And we've come to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 and 20. And let's consult now what that old preacher had to say about these words, where Paul wrote, having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. By the pronoun us, Paul means himself, as many as seen from verse 12 and 13. Adam Clark says, but as other apostles were inspired and sent out by Christ, they have a part in the ministry of reconciliation. To them, in this great commission to take the gospel into all the world, Christ committed this ministry of reconciliation. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles into all the truth, John 16:13, and to bring to their remembrance all that had been said to them, John 14:26. They were not to begin this great work until they were endued with this power from on high. And when this power came, what the apostles preach, telling sinners what to believe and to do for the remission of sins, and all Christians to continue steadfastly into practice. Well, that's stated in Acts chapter 2. This can never be changed. Nothing can be added or taken from it. This is the word of reconciliation. The conditions of pardon and salvation committed to the apostles. All that is necessary for all the rest of mankind, educated, learned, or otherwise, to do, and all that they can do, is to believe and obey this, and to teach and to persuade others to do the same. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, that they are ambassadors of Christ. Let's consider well what this verse states. Ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, God entreating by us, we beseech on behalf of Christ. An ambassador is an official representative sent by a sovereign power to attend to the business of that power, kingdom, or government, that is, to represent that government or power. Christ was God's ambassador to men. He represents God to the human race, and God speaks through him. Hebrews 1 and verse 2. God gave him all authority in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28:19. No human being or angel in heaven can have that power. Christ sent out the apostles to speak for him. He speaks through them. Those who hear and receive hear and receive Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to speak through the apostles. Hence, the apostles are ambassadors on behalf of Christ, and in Christ's stead or in his behalf, they present to the whole world and for all time the conditions of pardon and salvation, and thus through the love and grace of God beseech all in behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. No man not endued with this power from on high, and not thus sent out by Christ, can act in his stead or speak on his behalf. How then can any man, since the days of the apostles, claim to speak for Christ? Therefore to speak for God, and therefore to be an ambassador on behalf of Christ. Yet some young preachers are beginning to speak of themselves as ambassadors to Christ. This comes from both ignorance and presumption. What can they do or say that the rest of us cannot do or say? What rights or authority in the church have they that the poorest, weakest, and humblest member in the church has not? The true ambassadors of Christ were those apostles. And yet, we are to take the word of those ambassadors and to preach that into all the world. And thus, we're going to be sharing the gospel. We're going to be sharing Christ with the world. Now, that's the end of that Sunday school lesson. But there's a little poem here at the end, and it says, "The author is unknown." But let me read that to you. It's called Triumphant Truth. Truth never dies. Though ages come and go, the mountains wear away, the seas retire, destruction lays earth's mighty cities low, and empires, states, and dynasties expire. But caught and handed onward by the wise, truth never dies. Though unreceived and scoffed at through the year, though made the butt of ridicule and jest, though held aloft for mockery and jeers, denied by those of transient power possessed, insulted by the insolence of lies, truth never dies. It answers not, it does not take offense, but with a mighty silence bides its time, and some great cliff that braves the elements and lifts through all the storms its head sublime, and never dies. As rests the Sphinx amid Egypt's sands, as looms the high and the snowy peaks and crest, as firm as patient Gibraltar stands, so truth, unwearied, awaits the era blessed, when men shall turn to it with great surprise. Truth never dies. And now on the opening page, we begin the next Sunday school lesson. These are Sunday school notes prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March the 13th, 1927. And the title of the lesson is Making the World Christian. There are two texts. The first one, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. But the 11 disciples went into Galilee, unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The second text is Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. And they went through the regions of Phrygia and Galilee, having been forbidden of the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they were come over against Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There was a man of Macedonia standing, beseeching him, and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, straightway we sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Setting sail, therefore, from Troas, we make a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following, to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is a city of Macedonia, the first of the district, a Roman colony. And we were in this city tarrying certain days. And on the Sabbath day we went forth without the gate by riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spake unto the women that were come together, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, one that worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed unto the things that were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized and her husband, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. The golden text for their Sunday school lesson is Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. The devotional reading is Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Jehovah is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But Jehovah will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. They all gather themselves together. They come unto thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be carried into the arms. Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thine heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. Another reading suggested for this lesson is 2 Corinthians 11:23-29. Are they ministers of Christ? I'll speak as one beside himself. Ah, more, in labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of waters, in perils of my countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor, in travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, there is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is caused to stumble, and I burn not? As we look at this Sunday school lesson, we have some geographical notes. And we read here that Phrygia, Galatia, Asia, Mysia, and Bithynia were provinces of Asia Minor. You may want to get a map and turn to the back of your Bible, find a map, and locate Phrygia, Galatia, Asia, Mysia, and Bithynia on that map and get an idea of the location. Maps can help so much in being able to think through and to remember and to sort of sort out Bible teachings by knowing where they took place. There was a Roman province of Asia Minor called Asia. Ephesus was its chief city, and Troas was a seaport on the Aegean Sea near the site